This guy ain't been here.
Shocking.
He has not been here in about a month, and it's good to see him back. And the first thing he gonna pull up on the phone is the big fat ass.
Like, yeah.
I thought I was gonna see the Party Nerds logo. It's like, no, that's booty.
That's a whole different party.
Yeah,
right.
That's the wrong group chat right there.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Wrong chat.
That's what we all.
Well, everybody, welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
Welcome to the party. The party has already started for Devin, as we can see.
Yep. Devin.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. Wrong bald head black guy.
Come on,
Jesus.
Like, for real?
Wait, my brain got to reprogram. It was Devin there for the past couple of weeks. Bald and black, come on now.
Get some respect around here.
Nah, man, that's not how this works around here.
Jervis.
No respect.
Yes.
Jerv, Mr. Wakanda.
Yes, we back.
What's going on, man?
Chilling, dog. I'm chilling.
Man, yeah. How's life been? You know, movie projects, what's going on right now?
Life is good, man. Yeah. So I finished my movie up, Stealing the Survivor. We finished filming. We're in post-production right now. Should be ready March 23rd, I think, is the date. So I think we're going to try to set up a premiere for that then. Working on this reality show and putting together, producing. And we're trying to pitch that and sell
Battle
that.
All the fat asses based
nah,
on that phone.
Nah.
On that phone.
Number 23.
Nothing like that at all.
It's a side hustle he's working on.
Yeah. And I'm working on producing the documentary too. So we got some stuff in the works. Hopefully things go right, man. It was 2019 was a great year. So I'm making sure.
It's only
sure
going to get better.
2020 is better. Yeah,
this
man.
This is it.
That's it.
So welcome back, man. And we got Grandmaster Fax.
What's up?
What's going on, bro?
Welcome. What's welcome, up? Brother.
What's
welcome.
Up? What's up?
Ed, what's
yo,
up, man?
Yo, what's going on? I'm guesting today. Yo, what's up, y'all?
It's throwback and Ed representing do the Superman thing.
Ah,
right now.
Gamerdelphia.
Gamerdelphia.
Yeah, representing the partner to the Party Nerds, Gamerdelphia.
The straight infiltration.
Spin-off video game podcast.
And you guys keep an eye out for their YouTube coming soon. It's going to be lit.
Coming soon.
AJ would say, yo, it's lit.
If he was here, he would be doing that right now.
Another AJ.
So everybody here at this table, we have all had an opportunity to go see. And again, thanks to Allied Beverage for giving us this.
And Allied Marketing.
Allied Marketing.
Allied Global Marketing.
Yo,
are
I'm
you drinking
a
today?
Bad day.
This guy.
Yo. Yo, don't give me that look.
Allied Global Marketing.
Allied Marketing. The good thing is we can edit this all, so it's all good. All right, so
psych.
Thank you to Allied Marketing for giving us advanced screening, press screening to see Birds of Prey, which we actually saw a couple weeks ago, and we have a variety of opinions on this movie.
Because the movie leaves you with opinions.
So I very much so. Let me ask you guys a question. So, before you saw this movie, what were your expectations?
It was going to be trash.
I thought it was just going to be another Suicide Squad, and I was like, I don't really care anymore. And also figuring that it only centers around Harley Quinn and mostly unknowns, I'm like, why am I going to invest in it? And I barely invested in her in the first movie.
Even in the sense of just Harley Quinn, this is like one of the greatest villains of all time, Sidekick.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I'm just supposed to be okay with
it. And not, and not comic book base. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, going into it, I thought it was going to be good. I did.
Okay.
I mean, you know, trailers are always trailers. They always show the best parts of the movie and all that kind
of
stuff.
That's true.
But the trailer looked good. It seemed like they had a good story. I mean, first, when they first announced it in that long name, Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, you're like, what's all that in the title for? Then they've changed the name now to Harley Quinn's Birds of Prey.
Which we've come to find
out. We're
going to
get into that.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's just, I was like, all right. You know, and then they started announcing the characters they were going to have on it. And I was hype about Black Mask being in this movie.
That's what turned the stone for
so
me.
So I'm like, all right, you know, this might be dope. They're putting Black Mask in this. They're going to have to do this right. Ewan McGregor's playing them. Yeah, I'm like, I'm feeling this.
Right.
So I went into this thinking that this movie was going to be pretty good.
And personally, I had no clue. The reason I had no clue is because DC's been so hit or miss. You know, I mean, you had something like Shazam, which actually I went into Shazam with very, because I felt like in the previews I saw a lot. I'm like, I'm not overhyped, but after seeing the movie,
I had
like,
to listen to Jerv. Jerv said it was going to be fire.
Yo, okay. And Jerv, give him that. So I don't know.
Yeah,
somebody owes him like a bottle of rum or something like that. Yeah. So with this one, I'm like, okay, Joker, even though the Joker movie, which won all those awards at the Academy Awards, you know, everyone was like, this movie was great. People are not necessarily connecting it to the DC universe. So you got to look at Birds of Prey. Like, all right, they just hit a win with the Joker. Shazam was a win. Aquaman, you can argue, was kind of a win. You know, it was a win. So with this one, you're like, okay, let's just hope. So my expectations were, all right, maybe they've learned from their past mistakes.
But this is the thing. This movie had slight connectivity. The last movie that you seen Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn was in Suicide Squad. Yep. And then you had that ending scene where the Joker breaks her out of the prison. And then all of a sudden this movie comes along and it's like, oh yeah, we broke up.
Yeah, big gap.
Big old gap.
Yeah.
So then now let me ask you, let's talk about the good first, because I feel like there's going to be, so Ed, thought it was a good movie?
I thought it was a pretty decent movie. I'm not in the trash or excellent category. I'm kind of like right in the middle, maybe a little bit above it. I had a lot of fun with Harley's character itself. I thought like she kind of had that snark throughout the entire movie, like, you know, what some people have been comparing on the Marvel side to a Deadpool, if you will. Just the way that she was able to kind of like bring levity to most of the story, telling things out of order, telling things in her own different perspective to each of the characters. So I thought that was kind of fun. I thought like the Huntress was a really cool character, kind of like that.
She was the coolest character in this whole movie.
That mysterious kind of character, and also had that awesome fight scene at the end. Black Canary was okay in terms of like how they portrayed her in this specific movie as kind of like a lounge singer. Mm-hmm.
Justice Sister.
Yeah.
Mr. Smollett. Yeah.
Who's back in trouble with Renee, Chicago police.
I was attacked by white people and they said MAGA, MAGA, MAGA.
And they threw a rope around my neck. Like, yeah. Yo, you lying your motherfucking ass off, bro.
Light skin brothers.
Hey!
Light skin brothers.
One mandatory light skin joke per episode. That's it. That's it.
It's a running theme. But I will say this. The two characters that I didn't like in the crew were, of course, you know, the stereotype cop that Renee Montoya was.
Horrible, unnecessary character.
Yes.
Absolutely unnecessary. Yes. And the thing is, you guys have read the comics. I'm not too familiar with her character in the comics, but if that character in the comics was anything like what we saw in the movie, I'm not interested. Why didn't they replace her with Catwoman? Why Selina Kyle?
Because, they didn't. That was the right character to have. They just did that character no justice. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Renee Montoya is a great character. Number one, she's cool with Gotham PD.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? She doesn't have a problem with the police department, but they made it, this movie was so weird because the men, and it was every dude in the police department, treated her like shit.
Yeah, it was awful. Like, even the DA's
wasn't just in
her
wasn't
ex.
Just in the police department.
Right, wasn't just police department. But this, the police department, she's cool with Gotham PD. So it didn't make sense that now they all hate her. They're all doing her dirty. They're all trying to shaft her every chance they get.
They made Gotham PD more corrupt than they did in Gotham.
Yeah.
That's what, like, it felt like.
And then it's like, Commissioner Gordon? Because he definitely wouldn't allow that shit to happen.
Yeah.
Like, the commissioner should have been in this movie and shut that shit down.
Yeah.
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah. But it was just like her partner stole a collar from her and got the credit
It
and became the captain. Yep. And now
it was a mess. It was a mess.
Like, it just, but her character is a great character. They did her dirty. Black Canary. I thought she was good in this movie. I thought her character was good, but it was just, this should have been tied. You put the leather jacket on her. She'll have to have the fishnets, but at least give her the leather jacket, if anything. Like, the costume is all off.
Give us a little bit of a hint of the origins.
Right.
So it's just visually. Yeah.
If you're not going to keep her as a blonde-haired white woman, cool.
Yeah.
You're going to switch the character up by race, but give her something of the outfit so we can connect to
something besides besides the superpower and the tattoo. That's it.
Right.
That's literally the only two things that led to it.
The canary cry, I mean, which we can talk about more later, but she uses it one time in the whole movie. She's the only person with superpowers in this whole movie.
Right,
right.
And she faints after she uses it. And then you have to, but you know why you have to do that?
Because that girl can blow.
Because she's too OP. She could clear house doing that all day.
Exactly.
It ain't no fight. So you make her faint and it's like, oh, she uses a power. She's going to pass out. That's why she can't use it often.
She's like Baby Yoda in The Mandalorian.
So
the only
thing
they gave her in the beginning of the movie was kind of like the Mariah Carey, I'm going to break a glass or something like that. That high pitch.
Again, it was just disrespectful to the character.
I didn't realize that. It is. It's basically, she turned from Mariah Carey to Black Canary. That's her trajectory.
Mariah Canary.
Cassandra Cain, another good character the comics.
Yep.
She is bad.
Wait, first of all, I didn't even know. I mean, I knew the name Cassandra Cain, but I never connected that.
You didn't realize that?
And now I'm insulted. I was going to come in tonight being like, you know what? I really wasn't crazy about the movie, but it wasn't horrible. But now that you told me that, I'm borderline now.
This is bad. Lady Shiva's daughter.
Yeah, man. And she was just a throwaway character.
Right.
And, I will say that.
And
yeah.
again, the that worst. Was- Stupid. The worst pickpocket ever. She's running around people pickpocketing them like this.
She's like, hey, look. Like,
hitting them and pulling out their
no, like, is that your mom? Wait, like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like the worst pickpocket ever. And it's again, just a great character that they ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And that was bad. Huntress was cool.
Yeah.
They put
she was
that,
the best part.
They put that Jersey Mafia spin, or New well, York Mafia, whatever Mafia, but they put the Mafia spin on her. They gave her the tracksuit. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, and she looked the part.
The reason why she was, I think, the best character, arguably even better than the Harley, is because she had a reason for being who she was. They showed her backstory, though short. You saw that mm-hmm. this girl just had her family blown away in front of her.
Yeah.
It made her who she was, and she's just going out seeking retribution.
Yep.
And then you saw her insecurities and stuff. And by the way, you know that's the girl from
Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. Flowers. I said the same thing. I was like, that's Ramona Flowers.
And that's
like,
Ramona
oh
Flowers.
My God.
And I just thought that she added such a real everyday girl vibe to it, like, yo, she did what she had to do. I like
and
that
she
character.
Wanted to peace out, and they're like, nope, yep, you gotta stay now.
Yep, and she was almost kind of like the emo, like, all right, whatever, what y'all want yeah. me to do, you know?
But even piggybacking off what James said earlier, like, this movie happens after Suicide Squad.
Yes.
All right, cool. So Joker broke you out, you're chilling in Gotham, but you in plain sight. You hanging out at the bar every night, you drinking.
And it's not like you
Why isn't Amanda Waller coming to pick you up and lock you back up?
Yeah.
Right. Amanda Waller just lost an asset. So it now, if you say, well, maybe she's scared to kind of fuck with the Joker and deal with that headache. If she take her back, does she know Joker gonna come looking for her again? I don't want to deal with that headache. That's cool, but then give us some of that.
But
then.
that was a big problem. I think they tried so hard in the writing to leave any Joker besides what
they
was necessary
leave it
out. So, like, first of all, Black Mask looked like he was running the city.
Yeah,
but anyone that knows the comics knows that he is well way under the Joker as far as his cronies and stuff. So if you would have saw some people in the clown mask going around, he's like, oh, like I ain't fucking with y'all. Y'all up here, mm-hmm. we down here. But it almost seemed like he was running the shit.
It seemed like
but that's the difference, though.
He was number two.
As a mobster in Gotham, he is at the top of the food chain.
Right.
He's number one. Penguin, those guys are under him, like at level of how big of a mobster.
Joker's
a different type of villain.
That's
Joker
fine.
Ain't worried about that type of stuff.
But they still should have showed the Joker's presence in the city, in that world, which I didn't see in that movie. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was just by mention, like, oh, that's the Joker's ex, but you didn't see his fear. Like, Joker's people are always lurking.
They just
could have did it so much better, I think, all in all, you know. And another big problem I had with this movie was Harley Quinn. If they really wanted us to love that character more than just, oh, me and Mr. J broke up, what they should have done is shown how Harleen Quinzel turned from psychiatrist, giving us flashes of who she
was.
Like,
kind of like a live-action version of the Mad Love cartoon.
Yes, giving us versions of who she was in her transition into, almost like she's like a girl that just got burned so many times, she just lost it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just like, I felt like if they would have showed us even a little more of that transition into the current Harley, I would care more about future movies, because at this point, Birds of Prey 2, I'd go right to VHS.
But let me ask you this, though. Don't you know that already? Like, did you have to see why Harley wanted to leave him? Like, I mean, I'm speaking because of us who know kind of Harley, seen enough Harley from comics, cartoons, animation, whatever. I think it's common knowledge that Joker is the most abusive boyfriend ever to this woman.
But see,
you're looking at this
from a person who has read the comic. Understand, when they put these movies out, their hope isn't just that comic fans come out. Their hope is that everybody comes out.
Right.
So that's the case. If you want to have that Mandalorian success where people who've never been into Star Wars are now watching it like, yo, I want to go back now and stuff like that, you need to give us more of the background story. And so many women could have related to being in an abusive, controlling relationship, transforming into an intimate. That if they would have added that, I think they would have got more. Do you disagree
that
with
that whole falling in love with the bad boy type deal
and paying the price.
Did you have to see that for Spider-Man coming into the Marvel Universe? They didn't show anything of Uncle Ben dying and how he became who he is. You know, because everybody knows his story. I think everybody knows Harley's story.
That's my point. Some do, but if they would have just the slightest bit added that to it, I think now you have a movie where women who, they were like, oh, I like that character because I was with a dude just like that before.
I think the problem with that, though, is you had that kind of movie with Suicide Squad. It existed already. So in terms of, granted, they didn't tell a lot of that story. You just kind of had the Joker. You had Harley. You kind of had some of their interaction told through some stories and here and there. But in essence, they've kind of already you know, badly told that story. So they didn't need to go back to it in Suicide Squad or then Birds of Prey, which is why they had the cartoon in the beginning of the movie to, you know, figure
out
why
she had her
Suicide
Squad good enough, successful enough to assume everyone had seen that? So in other words,
not necessarily,
but I think those who kind of understand the fandom, I think what's trickier about this movie is that it wasn't necessarily a casual movie, which is probably why, like, oh, I saw Suicide Squad, I should go see this. I know the DC, you know, universe familiar enough, I'm going to go see Birds of Prey. There's not a lot of people who are going to go out there and be like, oh, I wonder what, you know, what's going on over there with Birds of Prey. Unlike an origin movie like a Wonder Woman, like Shazam, like Aquaman, or those kind of movies, where when you go watch Wonder Woman 84 when that comes out in the summer, you're already invested because a good amount of that casual populace saw the first one and saw that message.
And her popularity is so big, I think people know her story. Like, Harley Quinn is huge.
Yeah, but
she
blew up more than any other character.
Yeah,
but her popularity is big because she can be cosplayed well.
No, let's be real. I agree.
But listen, that's fine. I'm not talking about the reason for her popularity. I'm just saying this. Her popularity is so big, even if it blew up from cosplay, but because of her popularity being so big from cosplay, people know her story. Mm-hmm. They know she's been in an abusive relationship. They already know this stuff about her. That's why I think you didn't have to force feed it again.
And when did you have more time in the movie for it?
Where were you going to cut out to put that in?
They had so many unnecessary. A lot of those Renee Montoya scenes you just didn't need. Yeah. I would have rather had more of that backstory than
than Montoya's anything.
Like, yeah,
you just wanted to cut her out of the movie. It sounds like the
big underbelly of this entire movie was the fact where when the reviews started to come out, when people actually started to see it, they honestly thought that it was going to be like a feminist movie because every male that was in the movie was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Zsasza, Black Mask, the entire Gotham PD.
Mm-hmm. And then pretty much
out of nowhere, every woman in here is kind of like, it's not necessarily feminism, but it's like codependency.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To where like everybody has this feeling that most of the females in this movie can only be put on a pedestal if a man brings them along. Like Harley brings up that fact that a Harley Quinn is there to serve.
Right. Yeah.
And she can't be nothing without Mr. J.
Well, I'm sorry. It's weird that that didn't get as much backlash because, you know, almost with the, Captain Marvel or the Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
Whenever the people sense that's the agenda, they go into all that. Because the bottom line, here's another weird thing with this movie. All the critics before the movie came out praised it. They were like, this movie was brilliant.
And when we saw it, it was good.
We were like, I don't understand what they're saying. I did. I was reading these reviews.
Yeah, I was reading the reviews, and I'm like, it's not. I don't see it as a feminist movie.
Yeah, like I saw the same. I thought the same thing.
I'm seeing it from the standpoint that okay, these are like real strong female figures. Like I got daughters at home. It's kind of like when you look at the Disney princesses for an example, where Ariel will give up her whole family and her friends in order to lose her voice in order to get some dick. As opposed to a woman like Mulan, who scales herself into a boy and becomes some warrior princess.
Which wasn't the original story in the first place, which is not what they're going to tell in the live action.
But the thing is, like, these girls are, like, real strong figures and everything. And that was, like, real cool about this. You know what I'm saying? Like, their backstory, well, not necessarily the backstories. Like, Huntress's was, like, real good. But, like, from the other standpoints and everything, it's kind of like these girls were trying to, like, make a name for themselves.
Let me ask you a question then. So, would have made more sense if you're DC Films and you're laying out, you have a bunch of money because you're fucking DC and Warner Brothers, movie game plan. Wouldn't it have made more sense to come out with a movie called The Huntress, where you give us one whole movie on this character, The Huntress, the next year come out with a movie called The Black Canary, and again, this is the Marvel formula, and then eventually, now that you know these characters, then...
I think... utilize your streaming service and do the shit on HBO Max.
Yes, yeah. And then eventually, now when this Birds of Prey come out, you're like, they're finally going to get together. To me... You're setting yourself up for success because even if the movie isn't that good, people have been waiting for this merger to happen, which is what Marvel did.
But the question you have to ask is, do you want to see a Huntress movie?
No, that's what I said before
this movie came out and you liked this character, do you want to see a Huntress movie? Probably not. Do you want to see a Black Canary movie? Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you want to see a Renee Montoya movie?
Nope.
No.
That's the
good. Leave her out.
But here's the thing. She's the question, though. So you've destroyed this character that turns into the question, who's a badass Mexican bitch. Yeah,
it's probably one of the top characters.
Why,
just
in like in the Netflix series, why don't you make her like the nurse, like Rosario Dawson's character? If you did
Night
all
nurse?
These, well, no, if you did
the person that connects everybody.
Right, if you did these movies like where you did a Huntress. Well, right. First of all, Jessica Jones, no one really knew who she was, and after her series, she's so and Guardians. So I believe you can turn characters that aren't big into things if you give us a good movie.
Right.
So if you would have put Renee's character in as a thread and stuff like that, that's how you could have made it work.
I'm going to counteract your point with that, because I think that with DC, because Marvel has Disney money to do that kind of origin story and make it pay off. They have the money to invest, to give advertising and investment and make an awesome series out of like an unknown, like a Jessica Jones or an unknown, like a Guardians, and kind of put their own spin on it. DC's not going to do that. We saw that this movie only had an $80 million budget, which is lower than what you would normally see with any
and
Marvel production.
How much
production.
Did it make this weekend?
It made its money back,
but is
world,
that,
including international.
Okay. But is that
because so
DC,
made budget.
It made budget.
Okay. But is that because DC doesn't have the money?
I think DC doesn't
or
have
they don't
the
want
money.
To spend
Warner,
the
Warner
money.
Brothers got the money.
Right. I think with Warner Brothers.
Honestly,
so.
I think it's both. I think they don't have the money. You know, I don't think Warner Brothers is going to invest in movies like this because it's lesser known characters, unlike a Justice League or unlike some of your taller characters. You'll invest money in that all day
long.
Well,
they obviously invested money in the marketing because they switched up all them flyers and posters and sent new ones out
crazy.
All over the country.
But, then they're silly for doing that because Marvel did the investment. When it was just Marvel Studios before they got with Disney, they were doing, Iron Man. They did that on their own.
And they were coming off of bankruptcy.
And they were pulling money from anywhere they could to do that movie.
Right.
It's just you got to have the faith, the vision,
and
the right people in the right spots.
I don't think it's a wallet thing. I don't think it's a wallet because these companies have the money. I think it's just a vision. I think, I don't know who did this movie. It was Janet Wan. It was a new director that did this movie.
Janet Wan?
It was an Asian woman, and she had not directed a lot before, which I think that if you had her plan out a series of movies and cool, you're creating a thread. You're creating connecting movies, you know. And first of all, the after credit scene wasn't an after credit scene.
Kathy Yan.
I'm sorry, just for making up any name.
Sure did.
I'm glad you didn't
pull that out of nowhere. Janet Wang. He had to give her an Asian last name just to make it official. Yeah. Janet Wang.
What was her name? Chun-Li? Chun-Li? Oh, man. All of our subscriptions are falling as we speak.
Bye.
But ultimately, again, where in the Marvel MCU, you had Jon Favreau. You have Kevin Feige. You have people like, all right, let's start here. They actually have a board up where they're like,
Kenneth Branagh did the first Thor.
But with the X-Men, not to totally get off, but to connect it to this, you know, our man Michael Roman said that he got a leak that they're going to be introducing Rogue in Captain Marvel 2 as the villain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way
which would be comic accurate.
Yeah, but that's a comic book accurate thing.
But still, now you're adding pieces of the X-Men. You're not just going to go, 2023, X-Men the movie. It's like
all 20 of them.
Yeah, all of them. And they look at the camera like, like cheesy. No, we don't want that. You know what I mean? So, but I'm saying that it makes sense how they're doing it. Again, what DC should have done instead of giving us a Birds of Prey movie, lead up to this, you know what I mean? Because the Suicide Squad, you did the same thing. You did it with Suicide Squad. You did it with Justice League.
You threw everybody in our face.
And you're doing it again. You're trying to catch up to the stuff Marvel did as opposed to taking your time.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And they kill Black Mask at the end.
Yeah, that I had a problem with.
And there's no doubt.
He's a great character.
Victor Zsasza and Black Mask go. Victor Zsasza's was questionable.
No, he was good.
I'm saying his death was questionable.
He's dead.
You think he's dead? It looked questionable to me. I don't know about that one.
But Black Mask, his character was good.
He was another one of the good ones in the movie.
He killed Ewan McGregor killed the role.
Oh,
he was great as a character.
Charismatic and insane at
and
the same time.
And you just kill him off, and it's like, and he's not wearing his mask when you kill him on top of that. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, he really
on?
Didn't have the mask on enough in the movie.
But
I just, speaking about Ewan McGregor, I loved his rendition of, the character.
Roman Sionis.
He brought instead of Joker's evil sadistic, he was almost a diva club owner. Like working in nightlife like we did, he's that guy that just has all the power. He's the shit. Yeah. Does a little cocaine. Like, all right, man, this motherfucker, I want him. And he pulled that off perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He was a scary character.
Yeah.
Without doing anything crazy to be scary, just like this dude's fucking crazy.
Not doing like, you know what I mean? Not shaving off people's faces.
But he didn't do it. He's telling people to do that. Like I said, he's like,
especially
he
didn't he's do not anything, holding the much. Knife, right. He's commanding the knife.
But that's what's so great about his character. He never got his hands dirty.
No.
But he's a scary character that everybody, Black Canary was scared of shit, baby. Turn around and blow this motherfucker's head off with a cry. What you scared of this motherfucker for? He's scared, terrified of this dude.
Because
that's the power this guy
got. They played
got.
Off of his backstory. Like he had, like based, you know, without the Joker in a way, because Joker had no real semblance in the movie outside of just naming him. He kind of had all the Gotham influence. He could do whatever he wanted to do, and that's where the fear came from. The fear was of just basically how high on the totem pole he was. Right. He was like Gotham's god, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Pretty
so he
much.
Could do whatever he wanted.
Clown Prince of Crime.
Yeah, I mean, so ultimately, you know, what were your final thoughts on the movie? Do you think it's worth seeing this movie twice? Are you going to watch it again?
I'm not going to watch it again. I mean, I put it in the middle. Generally, if I put a movie in the middle, probably not going to watch it again.
Yep.
Unless I turn on the TV, it happens to be on TV, and I ain't got shit else to do. You know what I'm saying? So,
same boat. I think like right in the middle, like right around that six to seven range.
That's
like it's
at.
A movie where like, okay, I don't regret watching it at all. I had a good time. A lot of the jokes made me laugh. I had it was an entertaining movie. Is this something that I'm going to invest in the future?
Well, probably the best action of any DC movie so far.
Absolutely.
We didn't even talk about that.
The best action scenes I've ever seen in a DC
agree.
Movie. Without the OP shit.
Yeah.
Because the OP shit is all CGI.
And you could tell that they were watching those Netflix series, how they filmed it. Oh, yeah. You know, you could tell.
If I copy Daredevil... If I copy any type of fight sequences from Daredevil and put it in my movie, people just gonna think that shit's live.
Right.
All I gotta do is replace dudes in red with dudes in black.
Yep.
And just let's get it
let's
in.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. The only thing in this movie, you gotta kind of separate your brain from reality. Because in real life, is the girl gonna be able to go into police headquarters with color pellets?
Yeah. Absolutely
and make
not.
All the cops like, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this like, come
but the
on.
The cops are scared of her. But again, why are you scared of this chick? She's not using lethal ammunition.
She got
if you have it. Like, why are you scared of this chick?
Exactly.
She's got a bat.
You know, it's...
Why does she have a hyena going in? Like, if she walks in there with a crazy hyena...
With a hyena?
Yeah.
Maybe. Got an issue. Yeah.
And the hyena didn't even get any screen time.
Nope. Not, he got to eat a Twizzler and that was it.
And did you notice that a lot of the scenes that they had in the previews weren't in the movie?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that you saw... Before this movie
another
came out,
another 52 fake out, bro.
But I don't think it's not even a 52 fake out. It was just that they recut the movie. They shot so much other footage that they had to piece this together.
DC is good for that. And, I mean, the Snyder cut, like they. I feel like these people.
It's a whole other movie.
It's like imagine this table full of like Warner Brothers reps. Like no. Let's do this and that. And who knows? Maybe it was much better. Like it might have been.
If you're the director of a DC movie, like what is your like thought process? It'd be like, yo, we got to do so much film. I got to give them two movies.
But let's not forget that Margot Robbie had a big hand in this too.
She was like the executive producer.
Yes, her hands are all over this movie. I think she did great as Harley. She is a great Harley. She's the only Harley we know live at. So, like
nobody else can play her.
Brittany Murphy could. Yeah,
she pulled this off and kills the role. But there's just still so much. I mean, I'm watching this. I feel like there's so much more you could have done, and it's just missing from this movie. And I shouldn't feel that way watching this movie. Is it entertaining?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw it twice already. I mean, I watch it if it's on TV?
Why do you watch it?
I saw it
because
I
wanted to make sure. Because the first time we watched it, we got done. Darnell leans over. Everybody's like, yo, what y'all think of the movie? I'm like, that shit was trash, bro. But I was like, let me go watch it again to see if I'm just off. And I watched it a second time. I'm like,
that's what I'm saying.
No, it's trash, but it's entertaining trash. You know what I mean? Like,
entertaining trash.
It's entertaining
like
trash.
Like juggling like banana peels and cans and
I was
food
entertained.
Wrap.
I tell you what, that dirty motherfucking can dance though.
You know, like, that was
that homeless guy. He can dance.
Oh,
but
I said,
just and certain things in the movie, like it just had me thinking, like, why are all the men such scumbags in this movie?
Right.
Like even the Chinese dude that had the Chinese store sold her out. At the end, when they tried to kill her, he's like, well, they offered me a lot of money.
They offered a lot of money, and I just couldn't handle it.
I opened up a new restaurant bigger than this spot.
And that's where we got to that point where when this finally got released, everybody was like, oh, shit, not again.
Oh, and also, what about the gay representation in this movie?
Black Mask.
No, but it was supposed to be.
Is he gay in the comics?
No.
No.
But there was supposed to be.
I get the illusion.
I got the illusion in the movie.
Right.
Him and Zaz.
Right.
Yeah.
But they never played that up. So again, it was that whole thing like, yeah, we're going to have some kind of lesbian or gay or something going on in this movie. And then you don't see none of this shit at all. Like, who? Who's gay in here? I mean, we can assume who it is.
The only character is technically Montoya, which is in the comics.
But even Harley, when she was describing the one scene about, I think it was about Montoya.
Yeah, it was Montoya.
No, it was about Harley. She said when she was in college, she experimented.
Yeah, there was a
part. But it was all cartoon characters when she explained it. It was like, they didn't pay that off either, which was just, it was fucked up.
So let me ask you, do you personally feel that this movie for DC, because you got Wonder Woman 1984 coming up, do you feel like it was a step backwards? I feel like it was a step backwards when they had a little momentum.
I don't know if it's a step backwards. I feel like I'm still flat.
Yeah,
you
was already back, bro. You already in the back of the bus. Like, they make you get behind the bus. Is that worse?
Like, Joker put me at like a high note, and it was like, okay, I'm just supposed to go steps and steps. I just feel like I'm still here.
But again, like as we said earlier, you know, you had Shazam, pretty good.
Yes.
If not very good.
Yes.
You had Aquaman, which I put a little below Shazam, like pretty good, and you had Joker here, but Joker wasn't really so, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you had, okay, DC, like win. Then you have this, you're like,
all right, but this is.
I think DC's trying to cater to many different audiences. Like, you have the superhero audience in the theaters, and then you have like this ragtag rated R thing.
But hold on. That's what Marvel does. They genre bend like a motherfucker.
They do, yeah. DC is trying to do that too. They're trying
genre
to have this
bend, but they still have, as far as age demographics, style and demographics, who you're targeting are two different things. You know what I mean? It's just like all the Marvel movies can appeal to the young and the old. You know what I mean? There's not a movie where, you know, it's like whereas Netflix shows.
But that's their problem. That's not for kids. Listen, but that's an Aqua Marvel. They don't take no risks like that. Everything is PG cookie cutter, what they're doing with all their movies.
It's one wavelength.
And, right, so you're going to get the same thing all the time, and people are kind of getting tired of that. They want to see you step out the box.
Right, and I think that the Birds of Prey should have taken the darker, serious, or Joker-like role. I feel like the tone they did for the Joker, even though people were like, was that really the DCU, is a tone that DC can own in the cinematic universe if they make all their movies like that.
Kind of like that, you know? art provocateur.
Artistic. Now, the weird thing is, like, then you have like Shazam, Wonder Woman, Aquaman. Would it work for that? Maybe
no.
Aquaman.
No, those are
not Shazam.
Most of the Justice League, you kind of have to do that Marvel cookie cutter kind of thing, because those are name characters. So you have to kind of stick to that formula. Birds of Prey, like a movie like Birds of Prey, you can kind of bend the rules a little bit because you can kind of make it a little more fun or a little more serious or a little of both.
Justice League is just difficult, man. every single character is OP.
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh yeah, yeah.
It's like
you just got to give them that OP villain.
Listen,
we see it in their animation. We know they can do it.
We know they.
It's
just
animation.
It's about bringing it
to life. But my question is this: after seeing this movie, what does it make you feel about Wonder Woman?
Oh, I think Wonder Woman is going to be.
It's going to be. No,
really?
I think Wonder Woman is a whole different, because the first one was excellent. I think the second one.
Her arch villain is about to pop up.
I'm not sold that Wonder Woman is going to be a slam dunk.
I actually have to agree with Jerv.
Like,
just because, I mean, Birds of Prey not doing great. It's kind of, but maybe it was something in the previews. I'm not fully impressed yet with what I'm seeing.
What's
with
that?
Wonder
you don't
Woman.
Like the Stranger Things music?
You're talking the 80s generation. I want it to be dope. If it's like that, great. But I don't know. It's just
Is Steven a fanny pack?
I don't know. I hope I'm surprised. I hope it's
Is this
crazy
DC's
good.
Only movie this year is Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman.
Well, Birds of Prey and Wonder Woman. Yeah, I think that's it.
Is that it?
Okay, so they got one movie
Shazam
coming
up. Shazam 2's? Oh, no. Being
so
filmed.
So this is it.
Batman.
DC has one movie left this year. It's coming out in the summer.
No, the Batman does come out at the end of the year.
No, 2021.
You sure?
Next year.
Is it next year?
Yeah. They ain't knocking
Unless
that out that
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unless
they want to get that one right. They ain't trying to rush that.
They just now started filming recently.
So you have one DC movie left coming out, Wonder Woman. And that has to be a hit. If that's not a hit, I mean, DC movies are like, we're going to go see them, but I mean.
Because I want them to be right.
Right, but we got to hope and pray that they're getting it right. Like, it's just, this has to be a slam dunk.
Well, and the problem, I think that the flop of Justice League hit them so hard. I mean, because when I went, it's funny, when I went to California, if you go to Warner Brothers Studios. I went there like after they released, right after they released Justice League. They put so much money into making that whole studio that like they thought that movie was going to be the mecca for Justice League.
Right. Or advertising that studio. Was off the chain
and
for it, Justice League.
You know, when we went out there, you saw all the automobile for Batman. You saw all the costumes. It's like it literally they put so much money in this display, but now it's considered like not a great movie. And I think that really just shot Warner Brothers' ego in the foot. Yeah. Now they're like, okay, well.
No universe this time.
Yep, yeah.
Singular movies from now on, everybody.
Exactly.
And that's why those budgets, that's why I think that's where that whole budgetary thing came from. The flop of failure, I should say, of Justice League kind of pulled back the money a little bit. Like, oh, no, I don't know if
there's I agree with that.
Certain projects we will invest in, certain projects we won't. And this was one of them.
But the problem is because of Marvel's success. If these movies are all supposed to be billion-dollar movies. Every one of these superhero movies are supposed to be.
That's the expectation.
The expectations to be billion-dollar movies.
Hold on. Whose expectation is it? Ours or is it DC's?
No, it's ours. It's okay. Ours. It's DC as a competition because Marvel's doing it.
No, DC, I think if DC's expecting billion-dollar movies, they should just stop. Like, if their expectation should be.
Be more harsh, Ron.
Their expectation should be at least good movies, high ratings, and profit. If you're trying to go for the home run every movie, there's no point.
Right. Aquaman a billion, Wonder Woman a billion, Joker a billion.
Yeah. Win.
Fair. Bro, I mean,
making a superhero movie, not any this genre of these movies must do a, this. We must make a billion off these movies because we know we can. The fan base is there. It's these movies can all be billion-dollar movies. So we just have to put out the good stuff. Do it right to make it happen that way.
Right.
That's all it is.
I think DC needs to slow down.
That's pressure.
I think they need to slow down. I think Marvel, even people are looking at this phase from Marvel like, oh, how come we're not getting Fantastic?
Four movies a year.
They're moving at turtle speed now. Marvel's like, all right, we just ended this chapter. You ever watch like Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah.
Or and then you have all these big arcs and then you have goofy arcs where Goku's like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're just doing dumb shit like learning how to drive a car. So that's to me what this little year of films is like. You got the Black Widow and then Eternals to me. You had this little intermission before. And I think, again, that just shows you how they're thinking.
And they're going to start the Disney Plus shows at the end
of
the year.
Right. And I don't want to make this a DC versus Marvel, but it's just like, come on, DC. You guys, growing up, all I read was DC Comics. Like, I'd like Marvel, but I love DC. I collected Green Lantern. I love Batman, Superman. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I wanted these characters. This could be done so right. Even like the game Injustice, the story's better than these movies. Like,
amazing
with the Brainiac, that Injustice 2 storyline was
and they're still having
brilliant.
Injustice 2, 1 and 2 comic arc that's been running years and years. It's still running
to
this day.
It's brilliant. It's like, why didn't they bring this to the screen?
So,
it's like, this
so why not do something simple? What's Marvel doing over here in this moment? Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bite this shit.
Yeah, pride.
Straight up.
Pride.
Like, pride.
At the end of the day,
hey,
you
heard they ain't
successful?
Doing no Hawkeye movie? Green Arrow's dropping next year.
Exactly, yeah.
Remember, like,
exactly.
Just copy the Marvel formula. You came out first with DC Universe. Start tying these shows together. Put
Please.
Out your shows and tie them to your movies. You could do it too. You have your own line to do it with.
And think about how successful Crisis of Infinite Earths was on the TV realm. Like all the characters coming together and everything. And you were able to tie that into the DCEU with the two Flashes.
See, another big problem with DC, I think instead of starting their own streaming service, they get ahead of themselves. They get greedy. They should have put Titans on Netflix. It should have went on Netflix because it would have expanded the reach because people did not feel like paying for another streaming service because people in this country were paying for too much as it is without getting too political. So now you have a great show like that a lot of people or a good show that people aren't seeing. And if you would have started base there, then after like 2-3 years, then DC can be like, all right, now let's branch off because we already hooked them in with this.
Yeah.
You know, so but again, like who are we? We're here. We're doing a podcast. These people up here should be thinking about this. Like,
I mean, I don't agree with that. DC streaming service, to me, kills what Marvel's doing with their shit. Because Marvel's just putting their DC has not only their original programming, all their animated stuff and shows, they got the comics on there, too. You can go read comics on this
But joint. How's that working out for them in the long run? Look at the numbers? How's DC streaming
doing?
I'm
just saying that's better, to me, than what Marvel has right. If Marvel puts comics on there, it's over.
No,
it's a no-brainer.
I'm not saying they shouldn't eventually. I'm saying timing. I'm saying that at some point they should have... They should have started to hook people in, just like, you know, give them a little, like Girl Scout cookies or drugs. Girls like, here, get one. You're like, ooh, they are.
Yeah.
They are. and
you start eating a couple. I got them in my car for you.
I would take two boxes of Samoas, please. Or they're not even called Samoas anymore. You know, but what they should have did is hooked you in with being on Netflix, something easy. And then after you're like, oh, I want more. Okay, fine. You want me to get like The Mandalorian. Literally, The Mandalorian is what is taking Disney Plus to the next level because they won with that.
But listen. But that wasn't on somebody else's streaming service. It's on Disney streaming service. Mm-hmm. So why does DC have to do something? You have to put out young girls.
So like you get you all the Disney movies. That catalog goes back into the freaking 30s.
But you have to put out. You have to put out content that makes people want to get invested in it. You had The Mandalorian come out, and it was perfect timing too, right off the heels of Rise of Skywalker. So you're feeding that Star Wars itch. So you're getting all those subscriptions coming in to watch that product.
But didn't they do DC's, that anyway? What? HBO Max didn't DC just say, oh, by the way, we're putting shows on HBO Max. You have DC Universe. I thought you had a streaming service.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Listen.
What happened?
That's the problem.
We're releasing Green Lantern Corps on HBO Max. What about DC Universe?
What about them?
DC, by the way, that was a great animated series.
Yes, it was.
It was phenomenal.
They're like Swamp Thing. Came out, fire. One season.
And they
Why?
Ended it.
Budget cuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
So look, so we don't get too far because this is a topic for another. Just to wrap it up, I thought on a scale of 1 to 10, Birds of Prey was 4.
Damn.
Oh.
Five. Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Don't change your mind because of them, bro.
No.
Drop that to a 3.
Now, Derv.
Yo, drop that shit.
Devin.
Come on, Hydra. Hail Hydra. Come on, bro.
All right, I will not go any higher than a 5. Again, it wasn't absolute trash, but it really was left a lot to be desired.
Okay.
Jerf, what did you think?
I'll give it a 6 for it's entertaining. Like I said, to me, there's so much shit in that movie that's trash, but I'll give it a 6 because the movie's entertaining.
Right.
It's a fun watch. Harley did great, and when she's jacking people up, her fight scenes are great and all that kind of... I mean, the movie's entertaining, so I'll give it a 6.
Her fight scenes and humor kind of really pushed the movie to, like, for me, like, around a 6.5. I think that, like, the movie kind of pushed itself more based off of her humor and the action scenes, especially the one at the end. Perfect. Like, that was one of the best non-superpowered fight scenes in terms of all, like, the DC movies and everything. So I thought it was really good. So I think that kind of pushed up the rating for me. Had they given some of the characters a little more flesh to them, then maybe it would be higher. Right. But at least for what it was, again, I went into the movie. I laughed. All the Harley scenes were pretty funny. Had a good time. Cool. All right. That's all I needed.
I gave it a 6. Why? Because I wasn't asking for this movie.
Nobody was.
And unfortunately, I got it. And I had to go see it because we wouldn't be talking about it if I didn't. And turned out to be okay. Probably not going to watch it no more.
Fair.
I agree with James. So, guys, party nerds, we will see you guys next week. And just let you know, this weekend, and me, myself, Nikki, and Jen, we're going to be going down to KatsuCon. So if you guys see us down there, check us out. And much more wonderful things coming.
You and the Weeboos.
Party nerds,
we out!
We out!
Party nerds.